You are listening to the Empowered Life Christian Center podcast. We are a non-denominational Christian church located in Reynoldsburg, Ohio. We thank you for taking time to listen to this message. It is our prayer that something said ministers to you. For more information about this ministry, please visit www.empoweredlifecc.com. Now the message from our lead pastor, Brian E.J. Robinson, already in progress.
Neither one's mine yet, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Alright. Shora Bakatia.
Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you, God. We thank you right now, God, for just another moment we have, Lord God, to just be in your presence, Father. We ask right now that your Holy Spirit would just be with us, Father God, that your will would reign supreme in this house, God. We just declare right now, Lord, that you are the King of Kings and you are the Lord of Lords, Father. We thank you right now that you are the shepherd of our lives, Lord God. And as we come into your house tonight, Father, we come for no form or fashion, God, but we are here, Lord, to encounter you and to receive a word from you, Father. We desire, Lord God, that you would impart into us, Father, a revelation, God, an illumination based upon your word, Lord God. We also ask, Father, that as we hear the word tonight, Father, that we would take it, Father, and apply it into our lives, Lord. We rebuke every devil, every demon, and every spirit, Father, that attempts to come against releasing this word, Lord. We thank you for every person in this house, Father, all those who are watching online, those who watch later, Father, and those who desire to be in the house, Father, but were not able, Lord. We just ask that you would release a blessing upon their lives, in their family, Father. We ask right now, Lord, that you would change, God, us in a special way on tonight. Make your word fresh. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. We are starting a new series this month, and it's so ironic that as we are starting this series, there's been quite a few questions on Facebook regarding what we're going to be talking about tonight. And tonight, we're starting a series called Understanding God and Money. Within the body of Christ, money oftentimes is a taboo subject, not for every church, but for some churches and some church members. Reason being, I believe that there has been a lot of misinformation within the body of Christ regarding what the purpose of finances are in the body of believers. A lot of people have encountered ministers or preachers or people who have titles and they are fleecing the flock per se. They are taking money from the flock but are not teaching properly the purpose of money or putting their members and people in a position to prosper. And I believe that when you latch on to everything that this Bible has to say and you begin to read the word, you begin to exercise the word, and you really begin to trust God, you will prosper in every area of your life, not just in your health, not just in your finances, but on your job, in your marriage, when it comes to parenting your children, all of these different things, you will begin to excel in a special way because that's just the God that we serve. We serve a God of, I believe, perpetual increase. Everything that he does, he wants it to grow in some way, shape, or fashion. And so with that being said, if he desires us to grow, why would he not want our finances to grow? Why would he not want us to be in a position to be blessed? And I will say this, many people in the body of Christ, if you did not have to pray about finances, what else would you be praying for? A lot of people in the church spend so much time praying about bills, praying about money, praying about debt, and praying about these things that are not what they need to be because they are not in position of financial increase or financial authority. And that's really a sidebar, but we have to discuss it. The Bible has a lot of examples when Jesus is using financial terms. The Old Testament uses a lot of financial reasons for doing things. But tonight, we're starting that series of understanding God and money. It is my desire that as we get through this series, that you will have a new take and you will have a fresh revelation on really what our Bible says about money and how we as a body of Christ can be put in a position to be kingdom financial dominators. We talk about the year of massive production, and I believe God is massively producing in every area of our lives, but what a sad reality would be if we produce in every area of our life this year but financial increase. And we are going to put the devil in his place by teaching the word. 2 Timothy 2:15 teaches that we have to study the word, right? We have to rightly divide the word. So that's what we're going to do tonight. I'm not going to do much preaching. I'm going to try to teach and walk through this word and just really give you what thus saith the Lord. The one thing that I would ask for those of you watching online, those who will watch later, open your hearts and open your minds. To receive what the word says. A lot of times as we are getting fresh revelation or we're getting new teaching and God is illuminating certain things in our lives, what happens is we have been so indoctrinated sometimes that we can fight against the move of the Holy Spirit. We can fight against truth because we're so bound by what we've been taught, okay? And so open yourself up to receive a fresh word. But the four types of giving that we're going to talk about within this series are first fruits, our tithes, alms, and then ultimately the seed. And these are four areas within the body of Christ that we have to get down pat, and we have to make sure that we are in a position to dominate and to comprehend what each of those are for, what each of those looks like in a tangible application, and then we have to understand the benefits for each one of those different things, because to give is not just to give. There is a way that you have to give in order to receive how you want to see. Finances are important to God. Do not let anyone tell you that finances are not important to God. That is a lie. We are not supposed to be lovers of money, as the Bible says, but we must be in a position and we are able to use finances as a tool. When we look at increase, money, whatever it might be, is put in your pocket, not just so that you can have the nicest car, so that you can have the nicest house. No, that's not just it. That's a byproduct. But God increases us so that we can increase his kingdom. And we have to have kingdom finances to do that. So, yes, we are not supposed to be lovers of money. However, we are supposed to have it, right? But we also have to understand this. We are not lovers of money, but money is required. And our Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes that money answereth all things. So when you look at the word of God, I'm in a place now when I'm understanding, listen, I'm either going to believe all of the Bible or I'm not going to believe it at all. There are too many of us who are taking bits and pieces of the word that we like, bits and pieces of the word that we enjoy, and we place our banner, we place our foothold right there on that word, but then we reject the rest of the word. This entire Bible is meat, and this entire Bible needs to be digested and needs to be worked upon on a daily basis because it has power. We can't take one thing and throw out the other, okay? And so with that being said, money answereth all things. And some people want to argue that reality or that fact. You say, well, no, money doesn't answer all things. Guess what? Listen, today my vehicle had an issue. I had a crazy sound on the left side of my vehicle. Came to find out the wheel bearing was going out, so I needed a new wheel bearing. What answered that issue? It was the money that I had in the bank to pay the mechanic to fix that issue. So we have to understand money answereth all things. And guess what? Some things are going to go unanswered if you ain't got no money. That's just the reality of the situation. And so as we begin to get into this understanding God and money, we will begin to understand that we are supposed to be kingdom financial dominators. So first fruits, tithes, alms, and seed. The concept of first fruits was and is very important to the Jewish community. If you talk to a Jew today, somebody who is Orthodox, someone who is still practicing Judaism, you'll understand and learn that all of the things that we read in the Bible that are just a history to us New Testament believers are not just history to them. The festivals, the feasts, all of the things in the Old Testament, the way they're supposed to eat, the law that they're supposed to adhere to, they are still doing those things on a daily basis. And one thing that I'm learning as a Judeo-Christian, which we are, right? Jesus was a Jew, so we're Christians, Judeo-Christians, is that if it was good for the Jews, if it had relevance to the Jewish community, it can still have relevance to us. Now, we should not be bound by the religiosity or the dogma or the laws, and we should not be condemned if we cannot fulfill them. However, there is something we gain from understanding, researching, and learning how it is that they flow. And I'm not going to get racial, but I believe this. When I worked in the banking industry, I worked right in Bexley, and I encountered many Jewish people who were not believers of Christ, but they lived blessed lives, and they constantly said that it was God who prospered them. It was God who blessed them, God who gave them insight. And if God can give the Jew who is not a believer in the risen Savior and who does not have the Holy Spirit indwelling on the inside of them, all of that revelation, all of that increase, why is it that the New Testament believer does not have it? Should we not have that covenant a little better? It's a new covenant, a better covenant, right? So just because we have a better covenant does not mean that we forget what is in the old covenant, okay? And that's why too many of us in the body of Christ are being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine because we don't know the word of God. We don't know what it is that God said. We hear preachers say nice quotes and nice axioms, and we take those things and we run with them. But when you try to search it out in the Bible, you begin to realize some of what you've been saying, some of what you've been confessing, some of what you believe is not even in the word. So where is your faith? So we have to know the word of God. What I was saying was, guess what? If it was good for the Jews, if it had importance to the Jews, it may also still have importance to the Christian church. We must also understand that the Jewish, when we look at our Bible, it was a very agricultural society. So you may not often in the Bible see someone giving physical dollars, giving physical coins, but you may see them bring a cow or a bull or a ram. You may see them bring a wheat or some kind of fruit. That was their source of currency. So for the sake of this teaching and for the next 4 weeks, I want you to understand when he says bring a bull, when he says bring a lamb, when he says bring wheat, that was like him saying bring me money. Bring me a part of your check, okay? So we have to understand that. They were an agricultural society, so he spoke to them in agricultural terms. And one thing that I'll sidebar and say is when the body of Christ begins to understand God in an agricultural way, you will begin to dominate in a certain realm that you never dominated in because that's how they flow. When you talk about seed time and harvest, you begin to talk about sowing and reaping. You understand that more when you have a grasp of agricultural science. When you begin to look at geography and the reality that only certain plants grow in certain areas, no matter how much you pray, no matter how much you fast, no matter how much you cry and whine and do all these things, if you plant certain seed in certain regions, it's just not going to grow. If you plant certain things in certain places, even the United States, they're not going to grow. So if that is true in the natural, we have to also understand that is true in the supernatural. So when we look at our finances, we look at increase, there are some of us who are not prospering because we have not understood the agricultural sensitivity of the Spirit. And when we begin to understand that, a lot of things will change. And so we talked about they were agricultural society. So when you think about farmers, and I always joke, there's a country song that talks about how, you know, the weatherman's up in the city and he says there's going to be some rain, you know, and then everybody gets upset, right? They're frustrated. But the guy who's singing the song is talking about a farmer, right? And he says rain is a good thing. Why is it that rain is a good thing to the farmer? Because he is depending on heaven. He's depending on God to send the rain to give his seed, which is in the ground, enough water to grow. So when we look at our Bible, we begin to see the Jewish community talk about first fruits and different things of that nature. We must understand that they depended on God for everything. They had to pray to make sure that the ground was fertile. They then had to pray to make sure that they had enough seed. When they put the seed in the ground, they then had to reach out to heaven to make sure that God sent me rain. And then after he sent the rain, they still had to pray to say, Lord, don't let it be too hot. I need some sun, but don't let it be so hot that it dries out all the rain you get it. So they had to depend on God for everything. And that's something that I need us to understand as we get ready to go into the types of giving and understanding God and understanding money, is that we got to understand that God is our source. That at the end of the day, no matter how good your job is, no matter how many degrees you have, no matter how good you are at what you do, at the end of the day, your faith can't just be in you. Your faith can't just be in the job. Your faith cannot be on anything but God alone. He is your source. And because you are plugged into the source, he gives you what you need to sustain. But the moment you unplug yourself from the source and you think that it's you who's doing it and you that got it all together, let me tell you something. You're going to run out of power. It's like having an electric car, right? Not one of those ones with the gas switch, right? But the ones that are solely electric. You can plug into the source. You get all the energy you need. But if you drive too long and you don't stop to recharge and plug into another source, I don't care how pretty that car is, I don't care how much you pray, I don't care what you do, eventually you're going to run out of power and that vehicle's going to stop. You don't want that to be your life. But when you unplug from God and unplug from his ways and unplug from his word, what begins to happen is that you will ultimately eventually lose power because you disconnected from the source. First fruits originates from the Jews giving special offerings to God during the celebration of Pentecost, okay? Now, we're not going to get into all of the different celebrations and different feasts. However, they each have significance then and now. But it was an outward way of showing and honoring God with their new abundance. That is the key. It is with their new abundance, okay? What was their motivation? Everything that we do in the body of Christ, especially when it comes to our increase and it comes to our finances, we must understand that there is a motivation behind everything that you do. Whether you believe it or not, you are motivated by something. So what was the Jews? What was their motivation for doing what it is they did? It was generosity. It was to show God an outward representation that their inward heart was thirsting for him. It was an outward representation to show that, yes, I believe you are my source, but I'm not just going to be lip service to you. What I'm going to do is I'm going to show you in a tangible way that you indeed are my source. First fruits, which we're talking about tonight, is a major key to living in the favor and prosperity of God. The favor and prosperity of God. First fruits is something that opens you up to a level of blessing that the tithe can't give you. A level of blessing that the seed can't give you. A level of blessing that alms can't give you. And when you begin to work all four of those concepts in concert, you will hit a place to when you are flowing so fast, you are going so hard, you are prospering so much that even if the enemy decides to send a famine, you got so much stored up that you're not going to run out. But when you focus just on tithe and forget the rest, there's a possibility that you'll miss out. But when you focus on seed, but you don't tithe, you'll miss out. And listen, I learned that in my personal life when I was going through job transition and job change. Naturally, you begin to depend on what you have coming in, especially if it's not enough, right? And then you stop doing, you stop sowing like you were sowing. You stop giving like you were giving. And then life begins to get crazy and begins to get out of whack and you don't know. But I'm going to tell you right now, I got three words for you. Never stop sowing. That right there is what will take you to another level. And it's something that you have to have in your heart because you cannot observe the wind. I've been there. I've observed the wind. And every time you observe the wind, when sowing, you're going to try to hold it in your hand. You're going to try to put it in your back pocket, store it up for a rainy day, because you're worried about the conditions in which you can't control. Don't observe the wind. What you got to do is you observe the God of the wind and tell him, Lord, you know what's in my pocket. You know what's in my heart. You know what I need. But I'm going to give this to you with an understanding that I trust you with all of my heart. And I know that you'll blow the right thing to me. You'll plant that seed in the right place, and you'll give me the right level of increase. So when we begin to look at the feast and look at what the Jews were doing, when they had the big harvest, right, they would give a tenth or they would give a tithe, okay? But when they had smaller offerings or when they had levels of increase, they would give a portion of that. And that is what we call first fruits. The smaller portion, however, was one of the things that gave them the greatest blessing. Okay? And so as I begin to get deeper into this, I want us to understand that when we talk about first fruits, there has been a misconception, a serious misconception, okay, when it comes to some churches about what first fruits is and what is the practical application of first fruits. So today, I'm going to teach you and I'm going to show you what exactly it is, okay? And when we get into the word, I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs, the third chapter. Proverbs, the third chapter. Those of you watching online, those of you watching later, make sure you grab your Bibles. Take out your smartphone. Go to the word. I'm a big believer that you can't just trust every preacher that says something's in the word. You got to read it for yourself and check that preacher, okay? We are living in a time when folk are going to say a lot of stuff. People got itching ears, and the enemy's sending false prophets left and right. So you got to make sure you know the word, okay? But we are in Proverbs, the third chapter. And we are going to go to the 9th and the 10th verse. And the word of God says this: honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Why? Why do I need to do that? Verse number 9 told me to do something, right? But whenever God tells you to do something, he always gives you what you get out of it if you do it. Okay, but he says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So God is giving us a pattern. He's giving us an equation for how we can enter into a place of increase. So what is he saying? God said, honor the Lord. How do I do that? With my substance. I can't just honor the Lord with my lips. I can't just pray and scream and shout and roll around and run around in church and do all these dances. I can't just do that. Now, God glories in that. He likes that. But I also have to honor him with what? My substance. And with the first fruit of all thy increase, your substance. Okay, give tithe. That's substance, right? But then he says, and with the first fruits of all thy increase. That is how you know there's a difference. That's how you know that he's not talking about the same thing. So boom, first fruits is separate from basically your tithe or what you're getting. So he says, honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thy increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wines. Many of us are not living in verse 10 because we refuse to acknowledge verse 9. And too many of us are crying to God, worrying and whining about how we're not living in verse 10 and how the world has all these different things. But we are not adhering to verse number 9. We must get in a position as a body of Christ in understanding God and money and do what he says do. Because God is methodical. God is a God of principle. God is a God of equation. So if he says do this and you'll get that, then every time you do this, you indeed will get that. There's no question. There's no doubt. You don't got to worry about it. That just is who he is. So the question that I pose tonight, for those of you watching online, those who will watch later, this is the question that I pose to you right now. How are you handling your increase? What is it that you are doing with your increase? When you get increase, is the first thing you do is go out and buy a new car? Is the first thing you do go out and buy some new shoes, get your nails done, go buy some $300-$400 weave? I'm not saying nothing wrong with that. But is that the first thing you do before you give God your first fruits? Because if it is, what begins to happen is you give the world, you give the enemy your first fruits and you begin to reap from the world. It ain't nothing in the world but corruption, lies, deception, defeat. You can look like you're doing good for a while. I learned that when I was in banking, y'all. It was folks that I would see got a brand new Mercedes, got a big old house, and every time they come in the bank, they're -1,000, -2,000. Can't pay this bill, mortgage behind 6, 7, 8 months, but they look clean. Every time you see they got a brand new suit on, nice tie, and they were living a lie. And so you got the church looking at the world saying, oh man, they prospering, they're doing this, they're doing that. But when you really get behind the scenes, baby, that ain't everything. Everybody who look good ain't good. Everybody who's driving a nice car, guess what? Some of that's leased. Some of it ain't been paid for in a long time. They ducking and dodging the repo man on a regular basis. So we want to be worried about the world trying to get on their system while God is telling us that his system is better and that there is a reward when we get on his system and we say, nah, I'm good. What are you doing and how are you handling your increase? But then the question is, when we look at first fruits, because we're talking about, we're teaching tonight, right? When we look at first fruits, the next question I want to pose to you is, what do we classify as increase? That is going to determine for us what we believe is our first fruits. First fruits is an offering only given once on your increase. Your increase is not your income. That is something that we have to understand. Your increase is not your income, okay? And so therefore, when you look at what a first fruit is, a practical application, okay? We're going to give you an example. If you are on a job, right? And you make $20 an hour. And your boss comes to you, he says, you've been doing a wonderful job. The business is growing. What we're going to do is we're going to give you a $4 raise. So you're getting paid every 2 weeks, right? The first check that you get $24 an hour versus $20 an hour. The difference between your $20 an hour check and your $24 an hour check, that difference, right, is going to be your first fruit. It's not your whole income. It is the increase. And so that is what we have to understand. Another example is for those people who get bonuses on their job and different things like that, right? Your income is not the judgment of your increase. You work for that, okay? But if you get bonuses, and so you're getting something above and beyond your regular base pay, say you get a $4,000 bonus. When you get that $4,000 bonus, you get with the Holy Spirit and you determine what portion of that increase am I going to give back to God. That is a first fruit. And that is something that you have to understand because that's the practical application of it. Why does God want you to give first fruits? God does not just tell you to do things to tell you to do them. There's always a reason behind what he wants you to do. It shows God that you are not in love with money. A lot of us, whether we want to admit it or not, are somewhat in love with money. And that is sometimes why God is not releasing more increase into our lives, because he knows that the money will kill us. Everybody wants to say what they'll do with $1 million, what they'll do with $10 million. Guess what? It don't matter what you want to do with $1 million. It don't matter what you want to do with $10 million if you don't manage what you got now. If God does not see that you are a good steward of what you got right now, he is not a fool. He's not crazy. He's not going to give you something greater than what you can handle. So you have to be aware. When we begin to look at first fruits, it's not just a Old Testament concept. The Bible says 31 times, I believe, it's mentioned about first fruits. It also goes to the New Testament. Turn with me to Romans, the 11th chapter. And when you get to Romans, the 11th chapter, we will look at the 16th verse. And we'll actually go to the 15th verse. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, What shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. So when we begin to look at it, okay? If you look at what you get in a bonus, or you look at what you get in increase, if you don't set aside a portion of that to go back to the work of God and give that back to God and say, this is for you, you then take the first fruit and you make it unholy. So therefore, if you're not honoring God with the first fruit, the entire sum of what you got then becomes unholy and becomes accessible by the enemy. But when you take just a little bit, and it's a little bit, it's up to you and God. It ain't got to be the whole 2001. It could be anything. But you're saying, I'm going to give this away. I'm going to put this to your kingdom, God. I'm going to put this to work. So now he says, I see you. I see your heart. So I'm about to bless what you got left. And you're going to be able to do more with what you got left than you would have been able to do with the entire amount, because it's holy. And when it's holy, then guess what? It got holy characteristics. It got holy a flow to it. And when you get into that groove, you hit another level of just a perpetual abundance and flow, and it blows your mind. I said it before, I'm going to say it again. First fruits is a major key to living in favor and prosperity of God. But then we also have a question. Listen, it's important that as you begin to understand first fruits, and you begin to understand the tithe, you begin to understand the seed, you begin to understand alms, as you begin to understand those different things, there is one characteristic or one principle that I want you to understand is how you must sow. So when you sow, there are three things that you have to have, okay? When you give first fruits, there are three things you have to have. When you give tithe, when you give alms, there are three things you have to have. The first one is belief. The second one is purpose. And the third one is obedience. What do I mean by belief? You must believe when you give your tithe, when you give your first fruit, when you give alms, when you give seed, you must believe that God, one, is who he says he is. But then, because he is who he says he is, you must believe that God will do his part. God will always do his part. But if you go into it, that's why the Bible talks about being a cheerful giver, right? If you're giving grudgingly, you might as well keep your money. If you give in with anger and frustration, you might as well keep your money, because there's no reward in that. You must be cheerful. So guess what? How can you be cheerful and give it away what you work for? Because you know that God is faithful to his word. You know that he is not a man that he can lie. So you have belief in what you're doing. And more than half the battle is just having belief. But when you sow, you got to have belief. But after you have belief, then you have to make sure that every time you sow, every time you give first fruits, every time you give alms, every time you give your tithe, that what is your reason? What is your purpose for giving this thing? Is it to show that the pastor, I want to be a deacon, I want to be an elder, I want to move to another level, I know the pastor going to be looking at this and looking at that. Is that the reason? Or are you giving just because you want to give? Are you giving just because you want to see the kingdom of God advance? Are you giving because you know that, guess what? It just feel good giving. Listen. Apostle Thompson blew my mind at Money Coming to You last week. He looked at everybody. He said, you got to get to a point to when sowing like sex. I said, what? What? Pause. Hold on. What you mean? And I begin to think about it. Let's be honest. Whether you married, not married, we all love sex. It is what it is, okay? And it's something that's to be desired, especially in covenant, right? It's worship. So some people desire it all day, every day, 24 times, you know, whatever it is. They just like it, right? What, imagine if you had that same satisfaction, that same urge, that same conviction with sowing. You realize how many harvests you're going to have? When every chance you get, you look in the soul. Like most men, every chance we get, where my wife at? Come here, baby, come on. Every chance we get, right? If you had that mentality with sowing, Do you know how many harvests are going to become to you? And guess what? The reason you got to sow, the reason you got to do first fruits, the reason you tithe, the reason you give alms is because guess what? You never know which one of those is going to be your increase. But then you also, one thing that we got to understand, we're not talking about seed yet, but first fruits goes along with it. You never know which first fruit you give is going to awaken every other first fruit you gave. Every promise, every harvest, every revelation, everything that God released to you, you never know which one of those is going to break the floodgates, open the floodgates, and release so many blessings into your life. That's why you gotta have purpose. But then the third thing that you gotta have when you're giving first fruits is that you gotta make sure that you are obedient. I don't ever give just because somebody told me to give. I don't ever give just because everybody else is standing up in a $100 line giving. If the Holy Spirit does not move me to give, baby, you ain't getting nothing. You can guilt me. You know, you can come up to the pulpit and you can count the money and look at everybody and say, we $300 show. Well, you're going to be short because I ain't reaching my pocket. Because it's just like being cheerful. If God didn't tell you to give it, you might be sowing in ground that don't got no return for you. We just talked about from an agricultural standpoint, right? You can plant a seed in some ground and that seed ain't going to grow because guess what? Geographically, that seed don't grow in that ground. And there are some churches, there are some regions, some preachers, some apostles that guess what? Your seed's not for them. God has another set house, set man, set woman that you need to sow into because their harvest, your harvest is in them. Obedience. Every time you sow, you need to consult the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is your divine comforter, but he's also your partner. And the Holy Spirit, like I say almost every week now, is a divine eavesdropper. He's up in heaven hearing what Jesus and God is talking about, and he comes back and he whispers in your ear. So when he tells you reach in your pocket and sow, if he tell you to sow something, Holy Spirit ain't just going to waste no time. He's going to waste no time talking to you. So if he's telling you to sow something, he's telling you to give a first fruit, he's telling you to increase your offering, whatever it might be, there is a reason for him to say that. There is something cooking in heaven that you got to get in agreement with and you got to get in alignment with, and if you don't, you'll miss out. Belief, purpose, and obedience. But then, as we begin to talk about first fruits, and I get ready to close here, I want us to understand the benefits of first fruits. We've defined why, your heart, your motive. That's why you give first fruits. To let God you know that you trust him more than the money. Okay? But then we also learned that we have to make sure that when we give, that we got those three things lined up. But the next thing that we have to understand is that there are benefits to participating in first fruits. And if we don't have time tonight, but I may get on Facebook Live or do another video about it. But first fruits, when you begin to look at it from the Jewish standpoint, is something that the Jewish community or the Jewish people do every single month. It's not something that is sporadic, but they get together every single month and they participate in first fruits. Mm-hmm. And there is a reason behind it, and it is biblical. The reason, and then the funny thing is too, and we're not going to get into this side of things tonight, but when you begin to look at it, they did. It was called a new moon festival, right? The moon festival. And a lot of people within the Christian faith, because the enemy has made his way into the stars and astrology and things of that nature and divination, and so he's manipulated those things. But we have to understand that the way that they knew that a new month was coming is that there would be a new moon. It was a cycle. So God created the heavens. He created the heavenlies, the earth, the planet, all these different things in order to teach us and to show us and to guide us. And many of us in the body of Christ have missed God because we refuse out of and I won't even say wrong teaching. There are a lot of preachers, older preachers, who were good. They were really sincere in their teaching, but they did not have the revelation or the illumination in the teaching that they needed to have when it came to the Jewish philosophy and why they did what they did. There is power to it. When you look at how do they find Jesus, God used the heavenlies. And so we must understand that there's still power in there. Listen, what the world likes to do is they take a good principle. They take God out of it. They take Jesus out of it. And then they begin to try to do it themselves. So that's what astrology did. Astrology said, all right, we got all these zodiacs, and we got all these moons and sun, this, that, and the other, and we're going to take God out of it. We're not going to seek God. We're just going to try to figure it out ourselves. And that's where you go wrong. You have to keep God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit in all, because that is your base, that is your center, that is your foundation. And when you have those as your foundation, you can't go off. But the benefits of first fruit, the first benefit, is that it honors God as your source. And because it honors God as your source, you are making a declaration that God has blessed you, and that you are making an assumption that he will continue to bless you. And if that is true, if honoring God as your source is making a declaration that God has blessed you, he will continue to bless you, then I must take the other side of that and say that when you don't honor God as your source, you are saying to him, and you're making a declaration that you don't trust him, that you don't believe him, and that he has not blessed you. How do you think God feels about that? To have a whole generation of people, one, because we were not educated about it, first thing, but once you become educated about it, you have a responsibility to participate. So those of you who are not educated about it, don't be condemned. But as you're getting educated tonight, do some more research and begin to participate. And God will honor that. But then the second thing is, the benefits of first fruits is that it sanctifies or makes holy the rest of your income. We looked at it already in Romans 11, the 16th chapter. So as you're giving your first fruits, you're ensuring, just like with your tithe, that he's going to bless the rest of it. With your tithe, he's blessing your income. So when you give your 10%, he's blessing the other 90% of your income, right? But when you give a first fruit, he's then blessing all the rest of your increase. And when God blesses your increase, what does that bring? More increase. But then the third thing, the third benefit of first fruits is this. It releases the fullness of God's blessing into your life. Turn with me to Ezekiel, the 44th chapter. Now that I use this Bible so much, I'm missing a lot of Ezekiel and Isaiah, so I hope it's in here. Ezekiel, the 44th chapter, and the 30th verse. It reads as follows. In the first of all the first fruits of all things, and every oblation of all, of every sort of your oblations shall be the priest. You shall also give unto the priest your first fruit of your dough, that he may cause the blessing to the rest of thine house. It releases the fullness of God's blessings upon your house. Your house, who are you connected to? When you get into alignment with these types of giving, and you begin to understand God and his connection with money, you will put yourself in a position to, one, be blessed, but to ensure your entire house is blessed. Right? Currently, we think of house as in those who just live with me, right? But when you begin to look from a Jewish standpoint, an Old Testament standpoint, your house did not just necessarily mean who lived with you. But for example, as a father, all of my children, when they begin to have children and they have wives, that's my house. They're still my house. So when you get in right alignment, you're not just blessing yourself. you're not just blessing what you have. You are also blessing every single person that you're connected to. And then you get into a position where you're continually increasing, and people are going to begin to ask you, what is it that you're doing? How is it that you work the same job? We do the same thing, but you're living on another level than me. What's going on? And you'll be able to tell them, guess what? Let's sit down. Some people just go, oh, God. That's great. But when you tell somebody that God is doing it, you also need to sit them down and show them how he's doing it. Because there are a lot of us who say, well, God is blessing me. And folks are like, well, how? Well, I'm going to the same church. I think I'm doing the same thing. How he blessing you? Show them. I'm participating in these things that God outlined, and he's blessing me. Teach them. We are in a position, in a place right now, to where we have many, many churches. We have many great preachers. And guess what? I believe we need more churches. We need more preachers, more teachers, more prophets, more apostles. We do, because there are still a lot of people in this world who are unsaved. And there are even people who are saved who are still misguided. So we do need more. However, we must take up a banner to teach this word. We must take up the mandate to be ambassadors of Christ, to be ambassadors of Jesus, to be ambassadors of the message that saved our lives. Every time I learn something new, it is my obligation, as I practice it, as I apply it, and as it brings manifestation to my life, to reach back out and teach every person I come encounter with and to. So guess what? If every single child of God was doing that thing, do you know how many lives we would save? Not by just waving our Bible and beating people over the head with the word, but they would simply look at our lives and say, man, she looks good. He looks good. Him and his wife always laughing. They always going places. The kids just look so happy. What is going on? And you can show them based on the things I learned in this word. That's why I live like I live. And when you begin to do that thing, evangelism takes a whole nother level, because you're not just beating on doors, knocking on doors, standing on street corners trying to pray. You got folk coming to you saying, listen, I see how the drug dealer doing it, but I don't want all that headache. I don't want to be cutting and doing this and getting enemies against me and having to worry about somebody killing me, robbing, stealing. I see what they doing, but I see what you're doing too. Come teach me. Because y'all know that's how drug dealers get more drug dealers, right? And all this, how prostitutes and they get more prostitutes, because people look at their life and see, man, look at that nice car. Man, look at that nice house. Look at that money in their pocket. What they doing? I want to do the same thing. What if the body of Christ had that same approach and we live like we're supposed to be living? I'm telling you, listen, when you look at King Solomon, that brother didn't walk light. You look at King David, he didn't walk light. You look at Abram, he didn't walk light. You look at Lot, he didn't walk light. They walked heavy. When you look at Joseph, he didn't walk light. He walked heavy. Heavy in the prosperity of God. Heavy in the glory of God. Heavy in all the things that God released to him out of their obedience. Are y'all ready to walk heavy? Are you ready to walk heavy in the things of God? Because guess what? It's time to rise up and be the kingdom financial dominators that God has called us to be. Increase is upon you. You are empowered to increase, but do you believe it? Are you willing to put in the work as told by God to get it done? Or we just want to sit back and relax and go, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm a good Christian, but my lights turned off. God, I'm a Christian, but I can't put no new tires on my car. Or I'm a Christian, but I can't buy my baby no clothes. Come on, look, that ain't God. And furthermore, we as a body of Christ should be able to be in a position, if we see somebody in that position, to when we ain't got to just pray, we should pray. But how about this? How about I reach into my pocket and I write you a check for what you need? Or I put the money on a light bill, put the money on a gas bill, I pay your mortgage up. Guess what? There's testimonies in churches, right, that, listen, I've heard testimonies. Apostle Thompson, Dr. Forbes, and all of them being on the road and being in meetings, and the Holy Spirit begins to move, and the men of God say, guess what, we're going to pay some houses off in here. And they get the pastors together, and the pastors don't got to reach into the church account, but they reach into their personal account because they're working the word of God, and God is blessing them in business and all these other different areas. And they begin to call people out and say, who in this house has a mortgage? And somebody raises their hand and say, what is the balance? That's another principle I'm going to teach y'all here real quick. But what is the balance, right? And they say, well, I only owe $69,000. Well, listen, I'm going to write you a check for $69,000. Your house is paid off. Guess what? Is that not a greater testimony to show that God is who he says he is? When you got somebody who may be sick of cancer, going through some kind of illness, if they lose their job, if they can't pay their bills, how good would you feel to go in and say, I got your house note for 1 year? You worry about getting better. You worry about getting healed. And not just do I got your house note, but guess what? I'm going to go home and sleep good, because baby, that ain't all I got. I'm not hurting to give. That's the kind of lifestyle we need to be living. I'm working on it, y'all. But come on, Lord Jesus, I got to finish. I got to close here. But if you have never participated in First Fruits, I would encourage you, those of you watching online, those who will watch later, I would encourage you to participate. Every time you get increase above your income, I would encourage you to sacrifice a portion of that and give it to God. Now, I will tell you this, be careful. Don't take it out of your tithes. It's above and beyond. Pay your tithe. Set aside some seed. Every single person should have a seed account that when the Holy Spirit moves upon you, you can reach into that seed account and pay whatever he wants you to do, okay? You should have money set aside for alms, to bless people, to give the homeless, the poor, orphans, widows, okay? But when you begin to do this, you will enter into another level. But as you do it, I got to say this, and I'm going to close, I promise y'all. You have to make sure that you are listening to God. After you give it, after you give your tithe, after you give your seed, after you give your first fruits, after you give your alms, you have to be hearing from heaven. Because some of us are just naturally looking for a money right back. Sometimes he gives you a word. One word from God will change your life. I believe it. So when you give, make sure you are quieting yourself down and spending intentional time with God so that you can hear his response to what you've given. And you will enter into a position, y'all, I'm telling you, so when you will not have to worry about money, you will not have to worry about lack, you will be in such a place that the money will just keep on coming. The money will just keep on coming everywhere you look. Blessings, blessings, blessings. Like wine pouring off the mountain. It's real. So we went over first fruits today. Next week we're going to get into the tithe and get into really what is the purpose of the tithe, where did it come from. We're going to clear up some misconceptions and some wrong teachings that have been out there about the tithe and the law and the New Testament and all these different things. And we're really going to delve into this because we need to be free. We need to be free from the bondage of financial turmoil. And when you get free from that, everything else flows. There are more divorces happening now because of money than anything. Folk can't pay the bills. It's hard to love somebody when you can't pay the bills. You know, but God is going to rectify that. God is going to change that. And I want each and every one of you to really seek God and to search God as we are in this series on how can you increase your giving? How can you move to another level so that you can be a testament, you can be a blessing to God, and you can live like you have never lived before?